I had a special siyata d'shmaya far as this drasha speech. This is trying to mention, I've spoken here before on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I have no recollection what I said. So I'm afraid I'll say the same thing over again. So my special siyata d'shmaya is I was davening, I happened to go davening in Israel, Shacharis, whatever. And someone put out about four svarim hefker. Now the odds that I'll find a sefer, someone put out a young Israel hefker, I don't know, not so likely. Anyway, so I found this sefer. It's called, that I'd never heard of. It's called Musar Haskel. It's by someone I did hear of a lot. His name is Rav Elchanan Yosef Hartzman. He was a Talmid Rav Haskel. I used to learn with Rav Tava Abrahami, who was the author of the Binyan Olam, and they were like Ben Bias together. He used to talk about him all the time, because he was also a Talmud Rav Chatzko. He was a younger Talmud Rav Chatzko, but this way Rav Hartzman was a Talmud Rav Chatzko from Shanghai, and he used to stay in his house in Israel. So he used to always quote him. But I never saw his sefer. I think he wrote a sefer called Nates Hatzalah. That sefer I did see about Shanghai. But this sefer I never saw. So I found this sefer, just found it. And it has a piece here which I found very inspiring. And I know I never said it because I never saw it. So we're safe. Anyway, at least the beginning we're safe. I don't know about the rest. He brings here a maisa from that he says, Rav Kamenovitz, we know that the Mir Yeshiva escaped to Shanghai, survived the entire war in Shanghai. So he says, Rav Kamenovitz was in America, and he was the one that was sending all the money. There was took a fortune of money to get to do that, just to get out of Europe. I remember Rabbi Kinarik Shlita, who was still Baruch Hashem, still Eretz Yisrael. We just saw him there. He told us he was doing in the Mir Yeshiva, and came. They had to run away, and they had to take that train, the famous train from across Trans-Russian train, and he had no money for the train. He couldn't take it. Cost $100 for a ticket. And he says about a minute before the train's about to leave, someone got a shipment of money from America, and they were giving out to all the Mir Bokim $100 bills. Says, and he jumped on the train. He had his $100. But it cost a fortune of money to go to Shanghai, to pay off all the bribes. They had to bribe the Japanese. And so he says that Rav Kamenovitz said that when the war started, he had a grand total, it says here, of $6,000 in the office, in the Mir office in America. He said they needed hundreds and thousands, maybe more, of money for this whole operation. It was hopeless, impossible. He says many times he decided it's impossible, why bother, it can't be done, don't try. But he tried. And he says, what kept them going? He says, why do you do something that all logic tells you it's impossible? How do you do something? Logic says it's impossible. How do you do it? So he said, Rav Kamenovitz said he was inspired by a Dvar Torah. What was a Dvar Torah? That there's a chazal, it's a famous, everyone knows, that Noach was punished because he went ahead and when he was late in feeding the lion. So the lion bit him. Obviously, it wasn't the lion that bit him. It was a punishment from Shemayim. So he asked the Kasha, why should Noach be punished? It's impossible. Noach is all alone feeding all these animals. Of course he's going to be late. How do you expect him to be on time? Every animal has to come on time. It's an impossible job. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a time on Noach that you're late for the lion? So he said, because this was the last surviving lion in the whole world. This is it. This is the only lion. If you come late and this lion dies from hunger, Noach, you just lost all the lions for eternity. Do you know what kind of achrayus that is? If you hear this is the last lion, you'll be on time. So he said, I told myself, Shanghai is the last lions. the last lions. Shanghai's wiped out. There's no more. That's it. This is the only yeshiva in the world, basically, from the real yeshivas from Europe, that's intact. He says, it's the last lion. We need the lion. We need Shanghai. He says, that inspiration, he said, made him do what he felt was humanly impossible. Anyway, I think it was a very beautiful to hear, because what it basically means, when you speak to someone and you tell them to do something, he says, I can't. It's impossible. I can't do it. What do you want from me? I can't do it. Can't be done. I would love to do tshuva. I would love to do this. I can't. It's not true. Of course you could. You're not motivated. If you were motivated, Rav Kalmanovitz says, you can do the impossible. Right? There's no such thing as you can't. Right? There are many, many stories say the same thing. Many people, they say they say, I forgot who it was in a second. I forgot who it was. But one of the Gedaitim that the, who was it, the, or there was a Hasidic Gedaim, there was Rebbeim that survived the war. What was the most famous? Kloisenberg. Yes, that's right. The Kloisenberg. So he said, the Kloisenberg Rebbe said, thank you, that when he was in Kloisenberg, he gave shir, and they had heavy svarim. In Europe, they had real svarim, like, you know, real full size, like the old shasim. And he used to ask the bokrim to carry his svarim to shir, even though he said, he didn't want to be mishamish in a Talmud Chacham. Should he carry himself? What can he do? He can't carry such heavy svarim. But a few, he used a lot of svarim in shir. Too heavy. Says he was arrested by the Germans and sent to labor camp. He says he was carrying 10 times as much as those svarim. All of a sudden, he said he couldn't. He could, you know. In the yeshiva, I can't carry them. You know, I don't want to ask you, but I can't. But when the Germans say, if you can't, you're going to get killed. Oh, all of a sudden, sure I can, no problem. And a funny story, what I heard from the Rosh Hashiva. I think it's a funny story. I tell this to the Bokrim sometimes, because it's a cute story. Yeshiva tells a story, he told me a story, that there was a Bokrim in the Yeshiva that never came to Shachris. Never came to Shachris. Happens, believe it or not. Person in the base Medrash, he never comes to Shachris. So the yeshiva, after giving him mussar and this and that, so he finally came up with a chak. Calls him over and he says, listen, you know, I invested my whole life in this yeshiva. This is my whole life. Every time I see you don't come to chakras, it causes me so much agmas nefesh. Because I feel like my yeshiva is collapsing. You know, you don't come, other people don't come, the yeshiva is going to fall apart. My whole life's going to fall apart. Forget about Akash Baruch Hu. Do me a personal favor. You ruin my day every day. It ruins my day. Do me a favor and come to Minyan so I won't have a ruined day. So he said, the Bacher told him, Rabbi, you think I don't want to come to Minyan? I'm dying to come to Minyan. I know it's such an important mitzvah. But I can't. See, I'm a night person. I can't fall asleep before 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just humanly impossible. And I'm a very heavy sleeper. So for me, 7 o'clock is like other people, 2 o'clock in the night. And I'm a heavy sleeper. And as many, I just can't get up. It's not possible. So I can't. I would love to do you the favor. I can't. So Shiva said a little while, I don't know how long. Later, the Bokher got married. And guess what? After he got married, every day he came to Minyan. What happened? Hey, he didn't want to tell his wife he doesn't come to Minyan. He's a total guy. He can tell his wife, I don't go to Minyan, I'll be Zion. So every day he came to Minyan. You said you can't? Okay. Then I could. Today I can't, right? So that's the part. A person says, I can't, it's not true. We were in Eretz Yisrael, we took the base medrash for the summer, and we went to visit different gedolim. And we went to, we were next to the mirror, we went to mostly in the mirror. But we also went to some of the Sfarad Gedolim, especially we had a number of Sfarad Shabbat, and they're very chosher with Sfarad Gedolim there. So one of the Gedolim we went to was Rav Albaz. It was a yeshiva, not Or HaChaim, I think. It's one of the largest, you know, it's a gigantic yeshiva. Rav Albaz is one of the Mikarev, I think probably tens of thousands of people. It's a tremendous Baal Mikarev. So he told us, he was talking to the Bachrim there, he said, in his opinion, there's no one in that you cannot be Mikarev. No one. Pretty shocked. He says, if you find the, figure out every single person has something that will motivate him. You just gotta find the point. So if you find the point, you can motivate anyone to do tshuva. It's not so easy to find in a kud the point. You know, you have to be a tremendous pikeach. The guy himself probably doesn't know. But he says, he thinks every single person in the world, you can be makariv. If you really put your mind to it, and worked on it, and thought of, you know, and you were pikeach enough to figure it out. Because the word is that everybody has something that motivates him, something that he wants, something that drives him. And if you can you get, hit that nekuda, then the, and you hear that you do this, you get what you want, then the person can do the impossible. So getting to tshuva, which is obviously the topic, many, many people, the problem, the tshuva is they feel it's too hard. So a rabbi said that even a guy from totally not frum to become frum, that's much more tshuva than we have to do. And he says, anyone, any single person, if you get the, if you hit the right point, he can do it. So what we have to do, and this is also by Musa do say this, they say Rav Chaskel says it, he calls it the Nekuda HaMukeshet, I think. The point that bothers you is we have to find the point that inspires us and then use that to motivate us to go ahead and do tshuva. Generally speaking, the people would assume that the point that what inspires us is I don't want to get punished. You know, there are various, I do have various, you get punished. I don't want to get punished. So I saw that there's a... I saw it from, I really heard this from the Shiva Tzatzal. He said a shmooze on this, and I saw it later in Rabbi Isaac Shear says this, B'Shem the Alter Sarbaka. But that's not necessarily, that maybe it used to be, but in this Ma'aneh, that's not necessarily the way to go. There's a Rashi, it's a Pasuk in Hazinu. Pasuk in Hazinu says, Zechor Yemos Odom Bino Shinos Dar V'Dar. So the double language. So what is the difference? So Rashi brings up shot that Zechor Yemos Odom means think about the past. Think about all the punishments that the Rishon got. Think about Dor Mabel, Dor Aflaga, whatever. People that you think about the how they were ancient. People that did Averis, they got wiped out. Whatever, eventually, Stein, Mitzrayim, people that people did Averis, the historic and history has shown, eventually it caught up with them and they got wiped out. That's Zechor Yemos Odom. Look at history. What's Bino Shnos Dar V'Dar? Rashi says, though the Satan Livchem Al Shavar, you didn't take this to heart. Bino Shnos Dar V'Dar, the Hakarba, think about the future. Sheesh biyado the hate the chem, think about the reward in the future. So Shiva, that's how I said, gosh, why should it be that if punishments that already happened, because something happened is more concrete than something in the future that you think that, you know, yeah, the Muna will happen. Most of Mashiach. Well, Mashiach could be another, who knows when. That's a Shami soon, but when the Torah was written, it was also way in the future. So, clearly you would think that something in the past, you can tangible, you can point to in your finger, look, you see that guy, look how he got a punishment, that should be much more inspiring. But yet the Pasuk is saying that if ancient can't inspire you, think about the Mashiach, think about Olam Haba. So he said a very big insight in psychology and human nature. I said Rabbi Isaac Shear quotes the author, says the same thing. Says a simple mashal. Says you have a guy who goes ahead and he goes every week he buys a lottery ticket. Now, What are the odds you're going to win the lottery? Not too good. Right? The guy goes, and he goes to some casino, and he spends a fortune of money. Right? Spends all his money. Why'd you do such a thing? Well, I felt I was going to win. I just knew I was going to win. Right? And that same guy, he goes speeding in the highway over the speed limit. He rides his motorcycle. He cuts through the cars. You know, he cuts through traffic. You say, doesn't put on a safety belt. You say, what are you doing? You might get into an accident. Ah, come on, Rabbi. What are the odds you get into an accident? How many people get into accidents? I'm a good driver. Well, 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000. I don't worry about one. Come on. So far-fetched. He says, you're buying a lottery ticket for 1 out of 1,000,000, and you're not good racing 1 out of 1,000 to get into a car accident. When you drive the way you drive, you know, maybe it's less than 1 out of 100. He said, Teretz is, it's human nature. Something which is bad, human nature, it won't happen. Something which is good, oh, of course it's going to happen. That's human nature. So human nature, except Shan and Rashi, is that when you tell a person, oh, you know, you're doing aveira, you're going to get punished, there's a certain blockage. No, I won't get punished. Don't worry. You'll be okay. Shem's killed Mare Rachamim. Hashem understands. This, that. So it doesn't necessarily inspire a person so much. But you tell the guy you do a mitzvah, you get a reward, and if you win the lottery, oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that I can hear. So therefore, what Rabbi Isaac Scher said and Rashi Lezal said is that what for most people, Bizman Azeh, maybe in previous diaries they were in a higher madrega, but in Bizman Azeh, most people get inspired by reward over punishment. And he also said that Bizman Azeh, most people get inspired by Olam Hazeh more than Olam Haba. Even though obviously Olam Haba is really much more to get inspired about. But we're in Olam Hazeh. So therefore, he used to say that the best way of inspiring someone, and we see this, that's how we, you know, when you inspire people about Bala Tshuvas. How do they inspire about people to come Bala Tshuvas? We don't really sell them Olam Haba. We sell them Olam Hazeh. We say it's such a, you know, the beauty of a Jewish family, of a Jewish home. It's so geschmack, it's so warm and wonderful, and there's a family, and it's the brachas, shalom bayis, nachas from the kids. Right? People, this is what inspires people today. So we tell what, so he said, the way to inspire a person, even the, you know, obviously each person has to think, but each person, what do you need in Olam Hazeh? You need a person, this person needs a shidduch for his children. This person wants shalom bayis. This person needs a better parnasa. This person needs more health. This person needs more nachas from his children. My children, I need, you know, my children are, you know, very, obviously, gidubam, always for every, very difficult. Whatever it is. So you pick the nekuda and then you say, this one's going to daven. Aviyam naram, you daven. And together with the davening, davening works too, but the davening works better if you have schusim. So I'm going to do tshuva, so I do have more schusim. I'll have more mitzvahs, I'm more in the balance of mitzvahs better than veiris. So be'ezras Hashem, I'll get that thing that I want. I did have to clarify, because there is a slight kasher I'm saying, okay, someone's a Talmud Chacham, they're going to shlug me up, because it does, Chazal say, Schar mitzvah v'hai al-malekah. So how can you go ahead and say that you do mitzvahs and you get schar in this world, because it's schar mitzvah v'hai al-malekah. And if anything, it says pumpkin, the tzaddikim get punished in this world. The rishayim get the reward in this world. So you're better off, you're not going to get, you're being better off to be a rasha for this world. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, it's a beautiful Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He says it's in the... I think it's either the pre-8th or the 8th pre. I forgot which way it gets the safer. What's in the back of the oyster? Okay, Hafnis, which one is it? What? 8th pre. Okay, in the 8th pre. Now, Israel says that there's such a thing as, it all depends where your starting point is. He says as follows, that even though schar mitzvah amaleka, but there's other things besides schar. There's such a thing as peiris. You know, peiros don't come off the schar, but even besides peiros, peiros are only for mitzvahs bein adam lechaveiro, but there's such a thing as what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, that there's a Hashem gives the derech olam rotz lechem alichan also, and Hashem gives you siyata d'shmayis, you can do mitzvahs, and he gives you bracha in olam hazeh to allow you to do mitzvahs. So he says, Rabbi Yisrael says like this, it's a beautiful Rabbi Yisrael. He says, this is pshat, we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, zechreina lechayim, because Sveina Vesev Rachaim the Mancha. The Mancha means that we're asking we shouldn't get our Olam Hazeh because of a reward. Because then it'll come off our reward from Olam Haba. I don't want to lose my reward in Olam Haba. But we can get Olam Haba the Mancha. The Mancha means because I'm working, I'm doing mitzvahs. The Moshe of the Ma'adavar Daime, if a person works for a company and he has to go. So, you know, my sister works for a company, a computer company, and they have a branch in Israel. They fly her to Israel. She gets a free trip to Israel. And they put her up in a nice hotel because it's and she works for a good company. Business for a company not to put up, you have to put her up, you know. So when you work for a good company, for a wealthy company, they pay your traveling expenses, they pay for your hotel, they pay for your food. You know, and if it's a, you know, she doesn't work for that good of a company, but if it's a really good enough company, you'd go first class. So the Rabbi Yisrael says that a tzaddik, he's supposed to go first class, not as his mitzvahs, but as the mancha. That's what we say in the davening, the mancha. Comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you know what? I'm going to punish you for your averus in Olam Hazeh. I'm going to punish you. Instead of going first class, you'll go business. Maybe you even go economy. Maybe you even go spirit. I think. You know, what a punishment, right? Now the Rasha, he doesn't get the mancha. So he starts out with nothing. Shem says, oh, you got mitzvahs. You have to walk. You have nothing. You know, I'll give you a reward for your mitzvahs. You'll get rollerblades. You know, maybe you get a bicycle. You really have a lot of mitzvahs. So he says, Rabbi Yisrael, the Rasha comes out with a bicycle, while the tzaddik is flying on an airplane, and the Rasha uses up all his char, and the tzaddik uses up all his aveiros. Right? So it comes out anyway, the Maisa, we believe, that is what Rabbi Yisrael, that's what people say, doesn't mean it never happens that the tzaddik verano. Obviously there's such a thing, it happened in Psukim. But al pi derech hateva, the norm is, it's not tzaddik verano, it's tzaddik v'toivlo. We believe that the derech klal tzaddikim are much happier in Olam Hazeh. The fact that they might not be richer, because that's not what makes people happier, but in the things that really count, we believe that the tzaddikim, generally speaking, are much more happy in Olam Hazeh. So therefore, Rav Chatzkel says, what they quote from him, that what a person should do before the Yom Ha'aron is he should think about what brachas he feels he needs in Olam Hazeh, and that you should use that as an inspiration to motivate a person to do tshuva. Motivate a person to go ahead and make the proper, you know, to tshuva, which we know is charata over and kabbalah. Okay, so that's the first step. The first step is you have to get yourself motivated. The second step that everyone talks about, this I do think I talked about last time, so I'm going to try and skip over it, but maybe just put a different angle, is you have to make charata over. Okay, we'll skip that. And kabbalah. Now, everyone talks about that Kabbalah Asid is a little bit difficult because you can't go ahead, realistically, a person can't jump from one second. I can't make a Kabbalah Asid. Okay, from now on, I'm going to sit in Beis Medrash from 6:30 in the morning to 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm not going to bow to a word. I'm going to send Davish from the Esrei every single word with Kavana. It's just totally ridiculous, at least by me. And therefore, you'll never do it. So it's not a Kabbalah Asid. So the problem is, how do you have to make, so everyone says you have to make a kabbalah osed something relatively small. Problem is, if I make a kabbalah osed something relatively small, so then I'm not making kabbalah osed on all my averis, on all my unionim that want to be misake. So what they say is you have to make a kabbalah osed on something small, which you believe you can keep. But that small thing, you can figure out how eventually, not necessarily tomorrow, in 5 years, 10 years, will that Kabbalah will eventually bring you to misaking the total picture. So you don't stop, it's not stop to make a kaboah on something small. It's something small which is central, is going to have a tremendous hashpah in the future. They also say, I said this, I know, also I mentioned, I know, I said it, also, last, I don't know if I said it last year, but I like it very much, so I might have said it, I apologize. They say from the altar in the Varnik that the best kaboah is a kaboah that you're going to keep. Problem is, most people don't keep their kaboahs. So the altar in the Varnik says a tremendous, of Gevaldik Acheshvin, he says that what you're supposed to, he says a mashal, if you have to get a train over a very shaky bridge, and the bridge can't hold the train's weight, so you roar up the engine, and then you zoom across the bridge. The bridge will collapse. Good, if the bridge collapses, I'll be on the other side already. Enough, Besser. So I can't come back. He says, the best thing of the Kabbalah is roar up your engine, do something that you can't back out of anymore. Because then you know you're going to keep it. So you have to try and make a Kabbalah that you're going to keep. He says, usually that the suggestion is something small, or what the author in the Varnik said, something that you're committed to, and then it's too late, you can't back out. Right? Guy has a classical example. A person has a problem with, he watches the computer too much, so you take the head of your computer and you throw it out. Right? Or you have someone put filter on the computer. Right? So now it's too late, you know, you're stuck. You can tell, if a buffer tells his parents to put a filter on his computer, but he's going to tell his parents to take it off. He can't. So once you got yourself motivated to do it, now you're stuck. Okay. Anyway, so just to quickly, getting a little late, but quickly, a few of what the Gedolim suggest, what kind of Kabbalahs are appropriate, because we need a Kabbalah, it's not so simple. You need a Kabbalah that's relatively small, that's easy to do. You need a kaboah that you can lock yourself in, if possible. But you need a kaboah that's going to have a hashpah on everything else, not just on one area. So the most simplest kaboah that people advocate, and it's the most simplest one that works for everything, is to mekabel, to learn more. Why is that? Because it's a famous chazal. Chazal said that Vita Kosh on Avodazara Gine Rice and Shri Khazamin, that I'll Vita and Bitto Taira, and because Hawavai Osi Osu Vitarasi Shamaro, Habor Shaboy Atranu Muta. So the Chazal basically say that you can have a person who does Avodazara Gine Rice, Shri Khazamin, and if he learns, he'll probably come out okay. Right? All yeshivas are based on this, but I don't want to give away our secrets, but all yeshivas, there are sometimes the kids can do the craziest things. I don't know, not in our yeshiva, but in some yeshivas, kids do the craziest things. I don't say Avozagi Rashi has done. I had a kid once who did, I caught him in Mechado Shabbos and Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't know I caught him, because you're not supposed to let the guy know you catch him, because then you're approving of it. But he was Mechasha, but we didn't throw him out to Shaida, we don't throw him out. Keep him, because what's the point of throwing him out? Let him stay learning. He's going to stay learning. Or Shabbat. If he's not a Mechalka Lacherim, if he's Mechalka Shabbat for Hesya, that's a Mechalka Lacherim. He was smoking in a private room, locked up, in a private room. Okay? You know, and eventually the belief is that generally speaking, a person can do all the Averis. Obviously, it's not a Lechatchila, but the main thing is, if you get the guy into learning, eventually he'll straighten out. So therefore, if we say that you want to make a Kabbalah that will be mashpia, and I have a slew of Averis, right? When I go in, I say the Achet, every single one resonates with me. I have to say the Chidoz Vidui, and I got every single one there too. So I got a whole list of 100 Averis, and I have to make a Kabbalah Wa'asid that's going to help for all these 100 Averis and maybe more. So the best aid is you learn more. Because I'm a Ma'or Shaboy Yaksiran and a Mutav. That's what everybody says. The problem, we said that the outer, how am I going to stick to it? The first learning is not so hard, learning is enjoyable, I hope. But besides which, so you use the outer Navarnik trick. The author in the Varnik's trick is that you go ahead and you get yourself stuck. Okay? You get yourself a chavrusa. You speak to who's in charge in the kolo. I say, I need a chavrusa. So at the morning, before davening or at night, you commit yourself, you get your engine roared up, you make a commitment that you're going to come, you get yourself a chavrusa, you're going to back out, you ain't got a chavrusa, he's counting on you. He's counting on you to show up. You committed yourself to come. So that is the best eitzah. Really is the best eitzah that a person should try and learn extra, make a commitment, not just say, I'm going to, in my mind, oh, I'll learn extra this year. Because that's, you say it now, and a week from now you lose the motivation. To get yourself motivated now, then to go ahead and actually put into implementation. And then, Hashem, because you committed yourself, you'll stick to it. Other suggestions that they make, just to go quickly, Rav Shach suggests very much to go ahead. There's this famous Rav Shach suggested to bench from a bencher. It's relatively easy. Say, Asher Yotzar, you have it in your pocket or on the wall. Some people have it to make an Al Michya from an Al Michya in your pocket. The board is because if you don't bench from a bencher, usually, very likely, you're probably not saying the words right, probably as much as you believe. Of course I'm saying the words, but the odds are, okay, if anyone wants, I'll test them, we'll see. But the odds are that people who fool themselves think that they say it right, but if they would, they probably don't say the words right. If they say the words right, it's a pasuk in the Gra, that if you want to have more kavana, you say from a sitter, right, same as Gra, the vote of the Amelech, Amar in a Sefer. Person, when he goes ahead and he has a sefer, davens, he has much more kavana. I said, what does this help? It's big deal, so I'll say Asher Yotzer with more kavana. There it says, because davening is, according to many, the older Bari Musar, davening brings to Yiras Shamayim. Because davening is a Musar Seder of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the ultimate Chizuk Emunah is davening. So if you daven with kavana, that must be on everything too. So therefore they say that that's also a good Kabbalah. That you can also do that if you go out now and buy yourself the little sitter and put it in your wallet so you already have it. So you got it already. And anyway, once you got it in your pocket, hopefully you'll remember to take it out when you have to say Asher Yotzar or you have to make an Al Michya. You already have it in your pocket, the little bencher. When you end up making at least one bracha a day, or a few brachas a day, with more kavana, you make it, you pronounce it better, and that will have a long-term hashpa on the person. That's where Rav Shach supposedly, they quote from Rav Shach in numerous places. Being that we quoted this Rav Hartzman, I just say that this I never remember, but this Rav Avraham, he used to tell me over a Kabbalah of his. It's a little, maybe it's a little highfalutin, but it's a Gevaldika Kabbalah. He said that what many people do, human nature is, he said that people hear a speech, they come to hear a drasha, and people get inspired all the time. People always get inspired. And they decide they're going to do something. And then later, they say, no, but wait a second, I can't do that. And usually it's the Yetzer Hara, they'll say it's a Seif or whatever it is, but they come up and they figure out they change their mind. So he said he had a Kabbalah that any time you think you're going to do, if a thought goes into your head to do a mitzvah, you always do it. Not necessarily the whole thing, because maybe you did, but something. Never to let a Kabbalah be wasted. In other words, if you're sitting and you get a thought, I should learn more. So that's it. You would thought that, and you're committed. You commit yourself that if I decide to do something, I don't allow the HR to back out. No backing out. If I listen to an appeal, or I walk into shul and I see an army, and I say, I should give him. Then I say, on second thought, he's probably a phony. No. You decided to give him. Maybe you have to give him $10. Give him $1. Okay. But he said that was his Kabbalah. He said that whenever he had a rutzen to go ahead and to do a mitzvah, he had a Kabbalah. So he says Machbed really brought down by its shtickle svar, but we have it by Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu, Rashi brings that he brought the ayo, and Rashi says in one shot, I think it's the Rashi, maybe it's a Sipurin, I forgot, that why did he bring the aisle? So it says because of Doiver Emes with a bubble, because since he wanted to bring a Kedas Yitzchak, so once he had a das to do a mitzvah, so even though Hashem told him not to do it, once he had a desire to do a mitzvah, he got to do it. So there's also a hashkafa of Al Emes, that once you decide to do something, you got to do it. But he was saying Al Sham, Al, because this way you don't let the Pesach and the Eitz Sahara come in. Because the Eitz Sahara always comes in after the fact. After you decide to do a mitzvah, the Eitz Sahara always comes and ruins it and makes you to hear why you can't do it. So he had a Kabbalah. I heard this from Rav Remick numerous times. This was, he says, it's a Tarsman Kabbalah that he was apparently very big on. That a Kabbalah, that if you decided to do something, you always do it at least partially. Okay, I just wanted, obviously, I'm too late, as always. Okay, so I wanted just quickly to go over something else. Maybe something, first of all, maybe just in Kabbalah, maybe I should just mention, the Rav Chatzkel had a Kabbalah that was very big on, which is from a different angle. A Kabbalah, they say there's a story that there was someone who came above in yeshiva, came to Rav Chatzkel, and they told him, it's written in the Sefer, that their father is sick. So Rav Chatzkel told him his father should go ahead and be mekabel to give a shir. So he said, my father is an amoret, he can't give a shir. So he said, okay, he should mekabel to organize the shir, or a mekabel to set up the chairs for the shir, or to get the refreshments for the shir. He says, what shot? Because Rav Chatzkel said there's a concept, it's not al tshuva so much, it's a different concept called a rabin shrichim lo. He said, Rav Chatzkel said, there's a maisa, that there was some soldier that was a very talented soldier, that he went and did some crime, and he was court-martialed, and he sent them to jail, and then the war broke out, and if they took him out of the jail, because they needed him. He said, if you need the guy, you don't let him waste in the jail. So the Hashem runs the world the same, the Hashem runs the world the maida, the mata. So the same thing is a person, if a person is needed, so even if Al Pidin, he's Chayev, Einshim, whatever, since he's needed. So there's a father said it's a very important Indian to be Zaycha in the Din, to go ahead and to make sure that you're needed for the Tzibur. The Tzibur needs you. You're doing something for the Tzibur. So that was Rav Chatzkel helped. It's not really Al Tshuva, but it was a Kabbalah that Rav Chatzkel held as a very Kedai Kabbalah to be Zaycha in the Din, to find some area where you're helping the Tzibur. Because once a person is helping the Tzibur, it's a different cheshbon. Because he says that there's a haftach of the Tzibur will always be mekuyim. It's only the yechid and the yochid. Klai Yisrael can never, that's what they say by Haman. They tell him that you're a fool because if you're tying up the Klai Yisrael, you can never succeed. Klai Yisrael, the Tzibur, always has kiyum. And therefore, if a person joins the Tzibur and he's helping the Tzibur, there's a certain kiyum that the person gets. Okay. I just wanted to read this sefer, so late, but this is a Sharif Yeshua of Shachna Zalman. Shachna Zalman, those who know, he was an American. He went to Europe. He went to the first yeshiva in America in New Haven. He went to Europe. He learned about there by, I think, 7 years, I don't remember. And that was, and then he went, even maybe more than that. He saw met the Chafetz Chaim in Europe. Chafetz Chaim was in 1933, so he obviously was there. He learned in the mirror. So he has here a Shai the Truva say with a big tzaddik. He lives over the 100. And spoke English, so people, the Americans, used to go to him. So he has here a Shaida. If there's a minig in the Arab Yom Kippur, any time in the Asarat Yom Truva, to ask Mechila. He says, you have to ask Mechila from everybody, or just only someone you really know that you hurt. So he tells a Maisa, he says, that he davens in a certain shul in Masasar. And he says, if there's another Talmud Chacham who davens in the same shul, he says, the Maisa, things that happened right before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because one Shabbos, his Talmud Chacham was davening together, the Talmud Chacham finished davening, he walked out of shul, he says, good Shabbos to this person, good Shabbos to that person, and he didn't say good Shabbos to Rav Zalman. Now, why not? I don't know why not. It's kasha. It's busy. He said good job. So he said, Rav Zalman said he was insulted. But you say good Shabbos to this guy and that guy. Don't say good Shabbos to me. It's amazing thing. One of the Gedolei HaDor, he's insulted because the guy didn't say good Shabbos to him. And then he brings another mice, a similar mice, that this God who insulted him. Something else he insulted him. So he said, he came over to him, Avraham Kippur, he said, we should ask each other for mechila. And they said, why do we have to ask each other for mechila? So it's only, you better ask me for mechila. I didn't say that to him. But the point is, he's basically saying that even Gedolim, everyone's sensitive, and anyone you meet, you can very likely, you can go ahead and be pogea. So really, he says, you surely have to ask everyone for mechila. Problem is, it's almost not practical. You're going to ask everyone for mechila. So you try your best. Trying best. The minhag in most places, and it's kedai to be mefarsein, even though most many people know, is that people, the best thing is that everyone should say on their own that they're mochel everyone, and they say it's tefila, zakai, that just like I'm mochel people, even though people don't ask me, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me siyata d'shmaya, that people should be mochel me, even though I don't ask them. No, obviously you try and ask as many whoever you know that you can, but this way there's a certain, you believe midah Hashem runs the world, midah k'neged midah, so you're mochel everyone, and then there's called merachin al habriyos, there's other svaras that come in, and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be misata d'shmaya, that people should be merachin on you. The shaila is, that's good for mechila. What about if you owe money? That's, of course, if people have to be meichel you the money, but people don't do so fast meichel money. That's not so simple. So there's a piece from Rav Scheinberg, which is it's a big chiddush, because then Rav Scheinberg says, a chiddush, that he says, if you owe someone money, and you don't know the other person money, so those are very likely. You scratched his car in the parking lot, and you don't know that you scratched it, or you took his pen by mistake, and you took it off the table, and you thought it was your pen, it was his pen, whatever it is, so you owe people money all over the place. So Rav Scheinberg said, a chiddush. So the Gemara said, what you're supposed to do is Isaac B'tzarchei Tzibur. The Gemara says. But the problem is, Isaac B'tzarchei Tzibur only helps when you're living in a small community where people stay around. But when people scatter in Arba Kavos Aretz, so I'm going to make, they say, you're going to do something here, my Isaac B'tzarchei Tzibur is not going to help a guy who now lives in New York. So it doesn't help. So Rav Scheinberg said in Eitzah that you go ahead and every person gets stucco before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So when you give this stucco, you say, if I owe anyone money, so the amount that I owe, this stucco should go to his credit instead of my credit. So if I don't owe, it goes to me. If I owe, it goes to him. He said there's a non-sadi that since the person, I don't know that I owe him the money, and he doesn't know that I owe him the money, so he's never going to get his money anyway. So as a non-sadi, obviously you can't pay back a normal chayi by giving it to tzedakah. But here, since the guy has no expectation of getting the money, so he's happier that he should get at least a schus of tzedakah, because that's the only way he can get paid his money back. So Rav Scheinberg said there's a non-sadi that he'll be mekabel, and therefore your yaitzeh paying back your chayi. So in Eitzah, it's to go ahead and pay back the chayi according to the Evan Shlema says if a person owes money and doesn't get paid back, even if it's a penny, he has to come back in a Gilgal second time around. It's a scary guy. Evan Shlema, he says that the person he owes it to also has to come back for a Gilgal. It's also scary. So the Maisa, the Eitzah, the Rav Scheinberg says, is anyway people get stuck, so it doesn't hurt. See, when you give stuck, you say that if I owe someone money, the amount that I owe, and I'm assuming I don't know about it. Obviously, if I know it doesn't work, if I know who I owe, if I know whose car I scratched up in the parking lot, then you gotta call them up and pay. But if you don't know, because you quickly drove off, so then you go ahead and you could be the evidence if you weren't supposed to do that, but now that you did it, you go ahead and you can give the money to Staka, and you have das that if I owe it, they should go ahead and cover the chayv that I owe.